A little more, Anna. Okay, is that better? Okay. Well, hello, folks. I'm going to give you a prayer today that I like and I want for myself and everybody else. And my prayer today, Jesus, is that I will see you and I want greater intimacy with you. I want greater encounters with you. I want greater fellowship with you. Holy Spirit, I want to feel what you feel, know what you know, and think how you think. And I want to see God raise up a generation, Lord, that would cry like Bartimaeus, that would press through the religions, that would press through the dullness of their own hearts until you stop dead in your tracks. And God, make me like the woman with the issue of blood. She spent all of her livelihood on physicians and she could not be healed by any, but something came into her heart. And it was that if I could just get a hold of the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Is that better? She pressed through the crowd. She pressed through the people. She laid hold of you, Jesus. She touched you. You didn't touch her. She touched you. Now, I want to touch you. I want those words to come out of your mouth like they did for her when you said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" I don't want to just be around you, Jesus. I want to touch you. Oh, God, I want to pull your life, pull your power, pull your virtue out of your life. Lead it to my life. Head it to my family. Head to my family, into my home, into my region. God, I want to pull it. Release the spiritual hunger, God, that would pull on you and to see breakthrough in our lives. See breakthrough in our families. See breakthrough in our cities. And I want to touch you, Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise God. That's my prayer for myself and everybody else that's listening. And I thank you, Father, that if we believe it's going to be fulfilled, we want more of you, Lord. Let that hunger come so hard in us that nothing would satiate it but you, Lord, in your spirit. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for making us a true disciple of yours. And I thank you and I praise you for all that you're doing in us starting today. And this day be the day that changes everything in our lives, because we ask for your filling right now from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet and back up and out again, that it overflows into everybody that sees us and gets near us. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you for the gift of hungering for you in each and every one of us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, anybody else got a prayer that they need to pray? Lord, I thank you for happiness, joy, and peace in every household that's listening to us tonight. In the name of Jesus, and I praise you for it. Father, that peace and that joy has already started out, that the angels are seeing to it in the name of Jesus. Those that receive it will receive it, and I thank you for it, Father. All right, Julie.
Do you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I get it right.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, a little lower. I just wanted to have prayer of agreement for something. This morning early, I was awake when this happened. It was between 4:30 and 5 o'clock this morning. I heard sirens, which is not totally uncommon because of where I live and stuff, but they were really loud and it felt like close, and it was only like two large blaring sirens. And then opened up my eyes and I see the lights from my bedroom. You know, I don't know if you can see these windows above my windows here where the blinds are. So anyhow, they're lights, and I'm going, this is here in my apartment complex. So I got out of bed and looked out the window, and there was two sheriff cars pulled up in the parking lot out here, and I was trying to watch what was going on, and I couldn't really tell, but I could see enough that they had somebody with their guns pointed at him, and he was standing with his hands up like this. Well, it turned out, I was like, I wasn't going to stay here and there and watch it and peeking out my window like that, but I figured they'd get handled, whatever it was. It was only, I think, just one guy. Well, come to find out, when I got an email later this morning that yes, the day before yesterday, today's today, on the 20th, apparently in the afternoon, because we have surveillance cameras here now, which they didn't used to have, but they have surveillance cameras. And I don't know who saw him, somebody on staff saw, but some guys were in here and apparently going through cars, trying to see what cars were like open and stealing stuff out of their cars. Well, then that happened yesterday afternoon between like an hour window late in the afternoon. And then again at between 4:30 and 5 in the morning. And the sheriffs were there this morning and apprehended him. But apparently what had happened is, somehow they had gotten access to, they'd stolen, people not leaving their car doors shut and stuff, but getting into their cars and stealing their gate clicker, like the garage door opener, stealing it out of their vehicles. And that's how they got in. Or they were like piggybacking in when someone was coming in or out of the complex. Well, anyhow, so I just want prayer of agreement. Heavenly Father, thank you for where I live and that you're covering me here and where I live and work and other people who live here, God, and we are safe and secure. And I thank you that the sheriff's apprehended this guy this morning. And I also ask God that the people that had their vehicles burglarized, Lord, that they would come forth and file the police report. Apparently have to have that in order for them to continue with the arrest and file charges. I don't know what all has to, they have to have evidence that there's actually, people lost stuff anyhow. And for things to be returned, they have to have a police report. So Lord, I just pray for your protection here and that people be wise and discerning and quit leaving things in their vehicles of value and lock up their doors and that kind of stuff. And I just ask for the angels to guard and protect us here, Lord. And I know there's thieves everywhere, Lord, and I just thank you for your protection that nobody got hurt, and apparently nobody's cars got forced into or anything like that, so there wouldn't be any, there was any like damage to the vehicle, so that's good. And you've blessed me here, Lord, and I continue to ask for your blessing and claim that in Jesus' name as long as I'm here. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for that. Glory be to God. Yeah, Missy.
I was talking to somebody that I know yesterday, and they work for this business that has a couple different, for lack of a better way of saying it, departments or different. It's like one company that has different. They do different things or whatever, but how to explain it? This one part of the company is doing really well, but this other part of the company isn't doing well, and that's going under. And I asked, and they told me that it was because of tariffs. And I asked if the company was doing better. Was if the company was doing fine before the tariffs. They said, well, things had slowed down, but when the tariffs kicked in, and apparently they didn't go into details and I didn't ask, but apparently whatever the business needs or whatever comes from out of the country, and the tariffs have caused an issue. And so I'm just like thinking, okay, I wonder how many other countries companies this has caused a problem with. I imagine it's, not an uncommon thing. I don't know I haven't really heard anything else. I haven't looked for anything or whatever, but Father, I just ask you to especially your elect that has companies out there, and they try and especially try and run their companies in a righteous way, Lord, that these tariffs not have an effect on their company, that none of your elect's companies go out of business, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that that if the tariffs are too high in on certain countries or whatever, that they be brought down, Lord. I know that it brings revenue in for the country, but if what good is it doing if it's causing companies to close? You know, it's ruining them. So Father, I just ask you to intervene in this and make things better for businesses, Lord. I know I've heard in general that, you know, the tariffs are having an effect, and but so Father, I just thank you for doing that, especially for the your elect who have companies that it's really giving them a hard time. I thank you for doing that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Do y'all know what tariffs are for? Why they institute tariffs?
Doesn't it help to, I mean, I know they're trying to switch from income taxes, what we hear, to tariffs bringing in revenue for the government or whatever. It's
Well,
my understanding.
there is a dual reason for tariffs. One is to bring the product over here to build factories over here to make whatever it is that they want, and also to alleviate the prices that some of the countries have when they have free labor, if you know what I mean. And they can make things real cheap and spend them over here, and they're cheaper than American product, so that there will be an equal level field. That also, but mostly is to help the American economy by bringing those manufacturing plants over here rather than somewhere else where they can make the money. It has a dual, more than one thing to do with it, and I like it because it's doing away with income tax.
Right.
even though, like you said, that some businesses are going to have a problem staying in business if they don't find another supplier over here that's cheaper, you know.
Right.
That's
So, Lord,
my. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
no. We both want to talk at the same time. So, Father, I just ask you, for the companies that are really being affected by this, that there be quick startups of companies over here, just get that into motion more, and especially for your elect, Lord, that they manufacture the things that are needed, Lord, over here, and even companies that I know. Father, bring companies back here quickly, Lord, that left here and went to other countries. Bring them back quickly, and
Amen.
set back up here in this country. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Anna.
It's Obi.
Oh, okay, Obi. Sorry.
So I have a testimony. So
Let's hear it.
yesterday, while I was starting school, I had a lump in my throat, and it was hard and painful, and And so Mason made me a cup of hot tea, and so I agreed, and I prayed, and I went to do something, and before I even got to the cup of tea, it was pretty much healed.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a young man that's got faith. Praise God. All right. That's a good
Amen.
testimony. Anyone else? Yeah, Anna, go ahead.
Can I share something here while we got the mic?
Sure.
On Monday, I was doing a load of laundry, and all of a sudden, there's this horrible noise. And I was like, that's way too loud to be the neighbor's lawnmower. I was like, what is going on? And it was the washing machine. It was horrible. And I was like, oh man. But I went in there, I had so much faith. And we laid hands on it. I was like, I don't receive this. And it wouldn't stop. And I was like, nope. Thank you, Lord. And it wouldn't stop. So I was like, well, just restart the washing machine, you know? Thank you, Lord. And it still wouldn't stop. And then I didn't really feel like I really lost faith, but I was like, I maybe I did a little bit, but I was like, man, I don't want to really booger things up by letting it run. And it wasn't agitating either. So I was like, it's kind of pointless anyways. And I was like, I don't know if I should really let it run. I was like, maybe I should just pray that it's like a super simple fix. I was thinking, maybe I call my dad and he'll give me some super easy fix like he does sometimes, like the time I couldn't roll up my windows, and he's like, did you turn off the lock? And I was like, oh yeah. But they had got accidentally put down, I think, because the windows rolled down but not up. But anyways, so he's got all types of little things. Well, you know, turn it off, unplug it, you know, things that I don't know. I was like, maybe there's something. So I was like, thank you, Lord, it's just gonna be so simple. So I called him. He's like, it sounds like this. He's like, that's super simple to fix. And so he's like, let me, he's like, I'll call you back. So he went on YouTube and he was watching how to fix it. And it ended up being a super simple fix. And he came over and went down Wayne's World, had the part. And it was like this little plastic disc that had broken, like a motor transmitter to motor coupler, something like that. I'm not sure. Anyways, it was like just this little disc, and he knew right where it was and how to do it, and it was completely fixed. So I was just
Praise
like,
God.
well, Lord, this isn't quite, you know, how I thought, but I just still had a lot of faith that it was going to be so simple. And I still did all my laundry. Got to do like six loads a week, so at
Oh
least
my
probably.
goodness.
So I was like, thank you, Lord. I do not want to do my laundry by hand. That's too much laundry, but thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Debbie. Anita, Joe, Barbara. All right. Anyone else got a prayer or something they'd like to share? If you got one. Okay. All right, that'd be good. Judy's got a song. She gonna sing. Da 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 da.
I've heard you can take what's broken and make it whole again. Well, here's the pieces of my heart. What can you do with them? 'Cause I can't hold them all together anymore. So I let them fall, surrendered to the floor. You make all God of mercy. from the depths of all my pain. Only you can take this shattered heart and make it beat again. Oh, you hold this soul together in your hands. I surrender.
Is that microphone better now? Yeah, I had the volume turned down on it. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know.
That was beautiful, Julie. Thanks for that song.
Yeah, good song. Good song. All right, anyone got something they'd like to share? Yeah, Anna.
I want to praise the Lord a little bit and then pray about something. We had a really good time in Florida. I want to praise the Lord. We saw dolphins pretty fairly close in, and then me and Obi were going out there, and the water's like real shallow. I don't know, maybe 100 yards or so, maybe a little more, and then it's like dark blue. You can see where it gets deep, and so we're out there quite a ways, but still only up to like above my knee because it's so shallow. And I had Obi by the hand because, you know, the waves would come and wash pretty high up on him. And all of a sudden we see this dark, big, dark form out there. And I was like, that might be a shark. We're going back in. But it was far enough away that it wasn't scary. Only poor Obi told me later. He said, I thought the next wave was going to come and eat me. I felt so bad because I stayed calm. I didn't think he would get upset. But then all of a sudden it just jumped out of the water and it was a dolphin. So it was far enough away not to be scary for a shark, but close enough that it was really cool that it was a dolphin. And nobody got sunburnt except Matthew's poor feet that have not seen the light of day all year. But also Matthew's mom, Michelle, that we took, she had such a good time. And we had talked about doing something special for her years ago and just never really worked out because she does everything for everybody. all the grandkids back in Washington. She's taken care of several old ladies until they died. She just, she does everything for everybody, and nobody really does anything for her. And so we were praying, Lord, don't let any disasters happen while she's here. Because last time she was here, I think what, she had a friend die while she was gone, and things with her husband, Matthew's dad sometimes. And so everything just stayed completely good, pretty much back home, except for Matthew's uncle had a
Stroke.
no, not a stroke. He had a blood sugar episode. He's diabetic. So I wanted to pray for him because he's kind of another person that falls all on Michelle. So, Lord, I just lift up Matthew's uncle Gordon to you, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, whatever you need to get a hold of him about, that you would. He says he knows you, but I don't know if he really knows you, Lord. Not closely anyways. And I just pray, Lord, that you would draw him close to you before he goes. Lord, that he would have true repentance of anything that he needs to repent of, true forgiveness of anyone he needs to forgive, that he would be right with you. And Lord, I pray that this would not become a burden, Lord, that either he goes peacefully, quickly, well, not super quickly, but before he's unable to take care of himself, or you just heal him, Lord, and this would not fall on Matthew's mom, Lord. It's just too much. There's so much, so many ways she's being pulled, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, that you just work everything out, that nothing else, nothing more is falling to her in Jesus' name, Lord. Let the kids rise up and help. The grandkids are old enough. Some of them can rise up and help, Lord, whatever. Send more people, Lord, to come and take some of the burden, Lord, put on their heart. And I just thank you, Lord, for continuing to heal Michelle of her shoulder pain that she's been having. And I thank you, Lord, for the great time that she had, Lord. She was so receptive of things that we had got such great conversations about you. And I just praise you, Lord, for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're muted, Michael.
Heck, I just lost my train of thought. Let me think here just a minute. All right, yeah. Anyway, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for a long life for Matt and Matt's mom and dad, in Jesus' name. And so when it's time for them to go, that they just go. There's no lingering sickness or anything. They just be like Moses and just go. All right, Julie. I'm sorry, not Julie. You're not Julie. You're Missy. Well, y'all kind of hang out together, and I guess that's hard to.
I wanted to give an update on my dad. My mom emailed me and my brother and sister, I guess it was yesterday, yeah. And she said that they evaluated my dad in the nursing rehab area of where they live. And they're going to send him home on Monday, this coming Monday. And they're going to get him up and about more and everything, and I was kind of like surprised, and my mom was commented that he can do more than what he does, and that he has depression, and that she does too, and I have a tendency to think I believe that this whole thing that landed him in the hospital really was because of the meds he was on. And making him tired and wanting to sleep a lot and so on and so forth. And, depression makes you want to sleep a lot and stuff too. So, and his mental state or whatever, I'm not, I don't. I'm thinking that, some of his meds or this main one that they took him off of may have had a lot to do with that. So, and my mom said she was thinking the same thing. So, and I know, I think my mom's apprehensive about it. I just thank you, Lord, for bringing Dad home and he keeping him stable. And walking well with his walker and all, and Thank you, Lord, that those shakes are gone. That may have had been medicine related weakness or what, I don't know, but I thank you, Lord, for strength, energy, endurance in my dad. I thank you, Lord, for patience and forgiveness and treating each other the way they wanted to be treated. And I thank you, Lord, for speaking to their hearts, Lord, that before dad comes home, about their attitude towards each other, Lord, and grant them repentance and forgiveness from the heart to towards each other, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that, and that things will go well when dad gets home, and he will get up and he will do things he's able to do, and not be sleeping because his meds were changed and you putting in him the want to, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for revival in every aspect in my mom and dad. Spirit, soul, body, mind, will, and mission, Lord. And just to love each other and treat each other and not be so fussy about things that don't matter, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of our parents. You still got them. Praise the Lord. Okay. Anyone else? How many of you? Yeah, I lost my parents some time ago, but I still want to call them and say, can y'all help it, make it go away, that kind of thing. Just make it go away, Dad, Mom. But now I've got my own father. That's right. I got the one that makes it go away. Praise God. All right, anyone else? Debbie, do you mind if I read that word that you got the other day?
I don't mind if you read it at all.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear
Of
you.
course, yes, you can read it. I
Okay.
don't mind. You know, I want you to always read. I don't want to read them myself because you read much
Yeah,
better.
okay. That's okay. I don't mind. I gotta find it. Yeah, here it is. This is a word from 4/18/26. That's been 3 days ago. This was in the afternoon, wasn't it, Debbie? Yeah. Debbie says, I had such a wonderful time today in the Word. And can y'all hear me okay? Okay, good. I had such a wonderful time today in the Word and prayer and a time of worshiping the Lord. Again, I was worshiping Him with songs that He just would bring to my mind one after another. And she's got a good voice too. I love it when Jesus is the worship conductor. These were old time songs that I haven't heard sung for a while. The last one was the one I was singing to him and worshiping him or worshiping with more than the others. It was the song, The Power of Your Love. And with that song, the Lord began speaking into my heart. He said, I want to say to you, to my dear children, called by my name, born of my spirit, let love be without hypocrisy, for your hearts are open to me. I open up your hearts, and I can look in and see when you lack my true love. I can see when there is false intentions. I also can see my image stamped upon your heart, that image of love by your obedience flowing to you from my grace and mercy and great love that I have for you. So remember, love, do not quench my spirit. Do not quench my love. Do not mar my image. Be not as the hypocrites who through their much knowledge count themselves worthy of me, No, this is not what counts anyone worthy of me. Knowledge without love, I hate. There is much lack of the knowledge of my love in so many of my people who think that by their own understanding of my word that they have love, and they by their much speaking and praying, and even by their shows of love that are merely for their own self-recognition and not for my glory, continuing in the way, will find themselves entering into judgment. Yea, many have I already judged with the judgment still awaiting them, because they would not remember love. So, my people, remember love. Remember to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For my salvation comes from my pure heart of pure love, poured out for all whom my Father has given to me from before the foundation of the world. See my calling on one another. See the image of Jesus on one another, not looking at nor judging where they lack. For I am their Lord, and I am your Lord. I am working in your brother and in your sister, and by my grace, I understand them more than you do. And I am working in you by my grace, understanding where you lack more than you know and think. So be not high-minded, but fear. Be my love extended to you, to one another, and to your brothers and sisters all over the world, through your love of much sincere prayer. Receive my love, walk in it, not in hypocrisy, but in true, genuine love. I tell you that I am now pouring abundantly upon you a fresh anointing of my love, coming from my pure, holy, and abundant love for you. Receive it now, my children. And with my love that I give you, truly and humbly love one another. Stay in continual prayer and much seeking always for more of me and my selfless love to dwell in you through my word of love to you. Continue in my love. And then she quotes John 15, verse 9. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. Glory be to God. You know that really spoke to my heart a lot, and I just want to say to everybody here that sometimes my mouth opens up and it should be closed. It should be closed. And I apologize for anything that I've said that may have upset you or caused any kind of animosity. And I ask you to forgive me. And if you don't, God's going to get you. I'm just saying. I'm not, no, huh? It's, it's really, it worked on my heart, Debbie. It really did. And I just ask everyone to think about what you say before you say it. That's what I'm starting to do. And I want God more than I want Michael. And that's a good thing. So, anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about? I see you unmuted, Debbie. Did you have something?
I wasn't even over there. Oh, but maybe I didn't unmute earlier.
Go ahead, Andrew.
When you mentioned the abiding, the verse there in chapter 15, verse 9, I was just having something go through my head about God being our sanctuary, and he said that, in there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 16, for what agreement hath God's sanctuary with idols? I'm doing that to imitate the Father, because, you know, it's right hand, left hand. And we're supposed to be imitators of God and walk in love too. So, but there's the sanctuary there. Know ye not that ye are the sanctuary of God? And God saith that. And, you know, it just clicked, you know, abide, you know, abide is the sanctuary too. But the love is the sanctuary, you know, because God's there. And he's going before you. You better go let him go ahead of you, you know. And of course, Jesus is the sanctuary of the temple he spoke of once, you know. He didn't speak of a physical temple, but the sanctuary of his temple. So Jesus is a sanctuary to us too. And we know that we're the temple, because in the temple there's a light too. And that great light is God the Father sharing his glory with us, of course. But, you know, I just meditating on that sanctuary, thinking about who's there, you know, who's with us, you know, like with us, but, you know, it's let us, you know, and us means you take someone with you, you know, and he's the one who's the sanctuary owner, and he's the one who has the abode for us to abide in. And look at this abode, look at this sanctuary, look at this house he's making you, this tabernacle in heaven, this sanctuary of his temple, of his tabernacle, you know. And it's just so much closer than it was before. I don't even know really what it means to have this sanctuary, but, you know, as a child you'd have this place, you used to call it your place, you know, this is my place, this is my meeting place, you know, this is my, you wouldn't call it sanctuary because you didn't know what it meant, you know. But, you know, it's just so neat, you know, that this sanctuary that he offers to us there, you know, and it's the Father, so the love goes along with it, you know. And I don't know what people think about it, but you could just keep thinking about that forever and ever, continuously. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Yeah, I'm starting to think about it a lot. All right, anyone else? Question came to my mind today. I want y'all to help me with it. Can y'all help me with it? Okay, I got some good solid okays. That's good. From the women, I'm just saying. Anyway, the question is, I don't just come out with the old standard answers. I want a heart searching answer for what is a disciple. You're going to help me with tomorrow's program, so tell me, what is a disciple? Okay, Julie.
It's somebody who wants to follow the Lord and be like him. You know, somebody wants to learn of their master. A disciple, just, you know, when you disciple somebody, you're teaching that individual something. And you're watching them grow. So it's like a thing that somebody, just a you know, disciple of somebody that is growing up in the Lord.
Okay.
Learning and growing up in the Lord and wanting to be like them. I guess I'm thinking too, like, you know, have you ever, well, I think, I guess like movies and stuff too, but, you know, like when people were like in some kind of like martial arts or something, and they have this special student or whatever, and they really take them under their arm or whatever, and they really teach them because they see they have the talent, they see they have the skill and all that stuff. So they really, spend more time with them and help them excel in their gift or whatever. So it's kind of like that relationship where they see something special in an individual. I think the Lord sees something special in each one of us, and He's called us to follow Him. So it's so they can we can be like Him and grow up and be like Him.
Okay.
I just realized I didn't have my mic down by my mouth. It was up by my
Oh
head.
no, we can hear you. We can hear you. It's
Okay,
good.
good.
You got a
Okay.
good mic. Even up
Yeah.
above the eyebrows, we can hear
About
you.
that.
Amen. All right, Missy. It works a lot better when we can hear you.
Oh my gosh. Julie and I got the things going. Anyway, Chuck's video kind helped me with what I'm going to say. Is that a disciple is someone who is very thankful and appreciative and loves the Lord. Loves the Lord, and that's why they want to follow him. You know, they're thankful for their for what the Lord's done with for them, and they want to follow the Lord because they want other people to come to the Lord too. They want to learn of the Lord and what he did. And so that they can give the gospel to others and bring people into the kingdom and make disciples out of them. Disciples want to make disciples, I guess you could say. Bring others into the kingdom. That's my thought on it. And I think the number one thing is they love the Lord. That's why they want to follow him.
Okay. All right, Andrew or Ben.
In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, I'm sure you all know the verses. Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free from what? Free from being a disciple of man, disciple of the earth, or a disciple of the flesh. He frees us from ourselves so that we can live the life of Christ. And if we abide in his word lives through us. I really try and make like a physical sort of representation of what's. You sound like your dad. Oh, a little bit, I guess. It's almost like we're related or something.
I think we all are. Yeah.
Where was I going with this? I always like to think of how, when in medieval times, a knight, he would have a squire, and the knight would teach the squire how to fight, how to talk, even how to walk, how to portray himself, and even how to act. And then even sometimes the squire would take on the sigil of the knight on his shield. And so the squire is no longer just a follower, but he has been discipled. He has been mentored into knighthood, or we can even call it sonship in our sort of perspective of Christ in us. We are no longer our own, but we are the Word of God made flesh on earth, doing God's will on earth. Jesus also said, "I only came to do what my Father told me." And it's going to be the same thing for us. A disciple is a son who is a chosen person who has been fully baptized into the Holy Spirit. There's so many things to call a disciple. It's kind of hard. It's a very broad term, I would say. And I think you're looking for a certain word. I don't know, Michael, but that's what I see. It's someone who walks by the Spirit, fully baptized in the Holy Spirit, doing the will of God on earth. Because we're discipled by Jesus.
Yeah, everything you said was good. Now, I'm going to add a little caveat to it. What's the cost? Uh-oh. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
Our life. The cost is our life. Right? Our ways. If we're going to be, as David says, a learner and a follower, always going where he goes. How's that one verse go? Something about going where he goes. We follow the Lord wherever he goes. So anyway, that's the cost. To be a learner and a follower means we go away from our own selves, our own life, follow and learn his ways. Ben said we're taught of him, so we have to lose ourselves so we can be what he is, what he teaches us in his word. And, so, and there's always more and more and more, so we got to stay in the word. Anyway, that's all I have.
Amen. You got something, or you got a microphone or something that's rubbing against something?
No. I have my foot against the computer sitting on. I think that was okay.
It's not interfering with what we can hear. It's just a little noise.
The fan. The fan is blowing on top.
I could be.
Computer.
Yeah, I could be. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. I was saying that it costs our life.
Yeah, it does. It costs our life. Sometimes, I'll just wait. Go ahead, Julie.
I was thinking the scripture was coming to my mind about what if you cannot be my disciple, and had to look it up, but it's Luke 14 and 26. Well, the section here is the cost of discipleship, and I don't want to get into your teaching, Michael, but it just says, if a man cometh unto me and hateth not his own father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's what we were talking about, you know, giving up everything of this world, even the people we love and care about, you know, forsaking them for the sake of following Christ, because they wouldn't understand what you're doing and why. You cannot be my disciple, and picking up your cross and come after me, you cannot be my disciple. So that's what you're saying is, you know, it's cost you your whole life here.
Yes, it costs everything, doesn't it? Sometimes you lose it all. I'm gonna put this in the chat for you. This is Philippians 3:8, which says, yea, verily, and I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ. Are you having trouble hearing me? Okay. So that's kind of where we are as a disciple of Christ. You lose everything. You could lose your life, as we've talked about. Some of you have mentioned your life. We lose our life for Christ so that we could look like Jesus and quit looking like Michael or some of y'all, and start looking a whole lot more like Jesus. But when you do that, what does people say to you when you give it all to Jesus? I said, you're just a radical. You're this, or you're just that. Well, praise God, I give it all for Jesus. And Sometimes you lose your family. Your family comes against you. There have been people that have been killed by their families for being on fire for the Lord. And so it's the cost is your life, like everyone has, I think just about everybody has said it, the cost is your life. And sometimes it's your physical life as well, but not your spiritual life. Praise God. Okay, Julie, I think you had yours up first.
Something was coming to my mind when you were saying that, Michael's the thing is when you know, when you have the filling, when you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit and you know you're hearing the voice of the Lord and you know he's calling you to follow him and you count the cost and you realize, but wait a minute, you know. Jesus is calling me, and you know the word, and you know you have this understanding because of the Holy Spirit. You can, even though people, your family, your loved ones, the people that think you're a fanatic, and there's something wrong with you, and that you're different from them, and they can't relate because they don't have what you have. It's a gift, that we realize that we have been called to a higher. We understand what being called to that higher calling is, and we understand the value of it. We may not know fully when we get it, when we get called and stuff. But it's like you just know, it's like I can't go back to that because you've already tasted of something, bigger, greater, of the heavenlies and of who Christ is. And then you, for me, it's like, but I can't go back to that. I couldn't go back to that. I wouldn't be satisfied with that. And I guess it helps with the emotional part of, giving up. Giving up that friends, people in the church you were involved in, or whatever, and your family not understanding you, like, because they don't, they can't relate to you. But when you find like-minded people, like we're all sitting here, we'll go through hard things or whatever, but only people with the same kind of, with the same spirit and understanding can empathize and understand what you go through, where, others can't. So it's worth, it's when you have that understanding and you have the filling of the Holy Spirit and you know you can't go back, it's like, well, where else can I go? Like the disciples say, where else can I go? You have the words of life. You realize you start to come to understand the value. And it's okay that you've lost all this other stuff because we know it's temporal. And what we're gaining, for me, it's like I, the Lord just reminds me, it's like, but what you have is eternal and is, it's going to be worth it, whatever it is we give up here. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Benita. Thank you, Judy.
Yeah, I was just going to add that some people, other than being crazy, they say you're arrogant. If you say you're a disciple of Christ, they say, well, you can't, you're not, you can't be Peter, you can't be Paul. Like they were just people, they were disciples. I mean, if they were apostles. And we're called to be disciples, but they just think, I mean, I don't remember in our old church before I came here ever talking about being a disciple. I didn't even know what it was really until I came and listened to David. I'm like, oh, a learner and a follower. Oh, that can be me. That can be me. I can be a disciple. And I didn't understand that. But for sure, I've been called arrogant for saying that, for sure.
Amen. Matthew 28:18 through 20. It talks about it. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to unto the end of the earth. You quote that to people and they'll look at you funny. Because if you, as you know, as all of you probably know, if when you give it all to the Lord, people are going to come against you that you loved. They're going to come against you in a way that you never thought was possible. And when that happens, just know that the peace of God is already in your heart. And you don't have any qualms about following Jesus from that point on. Everything revolves around Jesus. Everything revolves around the Lord. Nothing revolves around this flesh. Yeah, they call us, Missy, they call us, well, you're just going overboard with this Jesus thing. Praise God. You know, praise God, we are going overboard. Because the Lord says that it'll all be worth it. Every bit of it's going to be worth it. All right, anyone else? The people that say that you can't be a disciple don't know what the Word of God says. And I wouldn't worry about what they say. The Lord will put that peace and that love in your heart that you got somewhere else from your family, friends, whatever. All right, anyone else? On disciples and the cost. The cost is the cross, isn't it? Amen. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I think mostly everybody talk about it, but I would just say in short things, you have to be a son of true son of God. You have to be a priest. You have to be loved. You have to be Jesus to other people. You have to know the Word, and you have to have a relationship with a Father.
Amen.
That's really added to this. Well, I was thinking about. Do you understand, Julie?
I think you're talking about you have to be all the attributes of Jesus. Is that right?
Yeah. Son of God, a priest, love.
Yeah.
You have to be Jesus to other people.
Yeah.
You have to know the Word.
Yeah.
You have to have a relationship with the Father.
Yes.
We have Jesus.
Amen. You know, there's a lot of Christians that say that they've given their lives to Jesus. But when you examine them, there's nothing there of Jesus. And that's why it's up to us to look like and to give our lives to Jesus in a way that is evident when we open our mouths and talk to people and walk to people. That love of Christ, that's becoming more evident, as Debbie came out with that word the other day that the Lord gave her about love. We have to show that love of Jesus. Muslims not going to listen to you just because of Jesus. They want to see something. They want action. They want to see the love of Christ on you. I was listening to a Muslim earlier that had gone to a church. He was going to stand up and just interrupt the whole church and tell them that they were worshiping a false god. And he did that. He stood up and did that. And the pastor had nothing but compassion for him, nothing but love for him. And it turned him around. Because he figured they'd tackle him and they'd wrestle him down and tie him up and throw him out of there. But all they did was love on him. And that's what God wants us to do to our enemies, is love on them when it hurts. Okay, Missy.
Some verses came to my mind when talking about people basically persecuting you because they don't like the Jesus and you're Jesus freak or holy roller or whatever. But this came to my mind, Luke 6:22. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and reproach you and cast you out and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same manner did their fathers unto the prophets.
Amen. That's a good one.
Yeah, and Jesus also said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. It's like my thought is I'm being persecuted because they see Jesus in me and they don't like Jesus. So it's praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's like. Lord, just help us all to not to be stunned or to be offended when somebody ridicules us or whatever, because help us to always know that it's because they see Jesus in us, that they see you in us, and just rejoice like these words say here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing that and helping us to always have a positive response, Lord. Even if that means we just walk away, if that's what you tell us to do, May our response always be according to your leading, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else on what it is to be a disciple? Yes, Andrew.
Over there in Ephesians, there's a blessing in chapter 1. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's every blessing. When you get righteousness, you get a whole lot, when you get righteousness. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then he fills you with this righteousness and you might get persecuted for it in the eighth blessing. So of the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. But you know who's washing. You don't wash the Father. The Father washes you, I got to see my daughter wash her little son there, and she doesn't jump in later and she gets a bath by him. He's not even 2 years old yet, but he might give her a bath by splashing her, but that's about it, Anyway, so these blessings, every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies that's in Christ Jesus, and it's still, going back to that sanctuary there, a sanctuary in Jesus, a sanctuary in the Father. It's all there. It's all ready for us, And I will receive you, he says also. Yes, there are things you have to do, but is it that far off in your mind, Is this your mind even, that he cannot input something there into your mind? In the past there was a woman. In the second century, she couldn't even read. And she was a disciple of Christ. She was a brand new Felicitas. She was a brand new mother. She had a girlfriend. Her girlfriend can read two languages, Greek and Latin, read and write in two languages. So her name was Perpetua. She was a disciple too. But she received this slave girl, made the other people angry with her just for receiving a slave woman, you know. And they're disciples of Christ. If a disciple is attached to that name, you know, that name, you know, you had a baptism happen to you. What does that mean? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You got three names there, or one name? Hallowed be thy name is with you now. That's in the Lord's Prayer. To hallow the, I don't even know what hallowed means. You know, I sure hope I'm doing it. But you know, I'm sure Felicitas doesn't know what it means either. Maybe someone told her, you know. I don't know if people are shy and they don't want to tell us what hallowed be thy name is. You know, and the name called the Word of God, and the name that's holy, you know. Righteousness is right beside it, you know. He that is righteous, let him be righteous. And he that is holy, let him be made holy still. You don't want the other half of that. In that verse there, in the last page of the Bible. Anyway, you know, that all those blessings that you have, you know, and they're given to you all because you live in the Father. And you know, we get all frazzled sometimes, and I still get, you know, you can quake. You know, does it make you a Quaker? You know, I can still remember, you know, hey, Mom, who's that? You know, oh, he's a very nice man. He's on the Quaker oatmeal package, you know. You know, I quaked, you know. I can tell you, you can quake. So it's, you know, like, you want to go beyond the fear of the Lord, but I can tell you, you're going to quake. When the things start happening, you might quake. But how fast are you going to make it go into wisdom, you know? And even if you try to tell some people some wisdom, they think you're, well, they just think the same way they thought about Paul when he was called a madman for his much learning. But, you know, what is learning but a disciple? And it's not that he was a learned man. He was a man who wanted to be like Jesus, and he gave us the spirit of the word and not the letter. He really explained it well to us, you know, the coming out of that law to coming into the grace. And you get everything. If grace is going to save you, and grace is all you can be in Christ, I'll tell you it's true, because it says that in the Bible over there, you know. To be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, you know, and this is a promise, you know. So it's something for us. It's so close by. Sanctuary. So real close to you. And people think it's way far off. I'm gonna have to fly for hours when I fly away up to heaven. No, it's close. It's pretty close, I'm telling you. As a matter of fact, some verses tell you that you're already raised up with them. So I don't fully understand that totally, but, you know, it's a sanctuary you're in. And there's a sanctuary with Jesus. Talk about Emmanuel, two sanctuaries. You know, I don't know how that works. Is it a summer home and a vacation home or something? But, you know, anyway, so just a disciple, you know. Oh, you know, it sounds so technical. How about just a child or son of God or daughter of God, you know? That sounds better. A disciple is someone in your family. And the first one was Jesus. And the Father is still the Father. You know, he's making us to be what we want to be. in Christ Jesus, what he wants us to be. So, you know, we're God's workmanship. You know, a disciple is. You can go to second chapter of Philippians 13. For it is God that worketh in you both. Now, why is he pluralizing you? To will and to do according to his good pleasure. Let's go. You know, I don't know, like a baby has to be carried around a lot. A child, you got to hold his hand and take him, you know, little children, you got it. Oh man, they can run off so quickly. They hide on you in the clothing store. Even though the mom was the manager, they hide on you in the clothing store, and they hide in the middle of the round clothing rack, and you can't find them, and you think they got out of the store. He's kidnapped. He's gone. But, you know, family, you know, that was a mean trick. He was quite young, too. And it's a good thing the Lord provides. That's all I have to say. You know? And I hope God doesn't get them back for the things that you did. They did to you, you know, because you don't want them to be getting back by God by hiding in the store and scaring both parents to death. Anyway, I don't wish that on anyone. I don't wish a lot of things on anyone. You know, I just want them to be. A disciple could be a baby too, you know. Emmanuel for babies and Emmanuel for grown-ups. You know, there's an Emmanuel for grown-ups. No, that's, if God, a disciple is an Emmanuel person, you know. Because Emmanuel is Simeon there saying that he's a sign spoken against. Now, Lord, I can go to sleep. Because I have seen my salvation. And he saw baby Jesus and he said, but he's going to be a sign spoken against, you know, and the, for the rising and falling of many in Israel. But I think that's the church now. So we got to be that Emmanuel as a baby, you know, that's the best gift there, you know, on Christmas. It's the guy in the manger. Because that's going to be you. And you know he didn't start his ministry till he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, and then he just went for 3.5 years. But, you know, a disciple is there, you know, for he died. And your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the disciple for the grown-up. You got God there and in Christ. It's hid. You're hidden. You know that secret place of the Most High? He just told you where it is in 3:3 of Colossians. And that's a disciple. That's a disciple. That's a sanctuary, actually. That verse is sanctuary, you know, in 3:3 of Colossians. So, wow. I'm just thinking aloud, you know. So, praise and glory to God for the sanctuary. The sanctuary. That's where the big guy lives, in the sanctuary. He's the biggest of all, man. And he, how does he fit inside of you? If he's the biggest one of all, you know? I will dwell in them and walk. Well, we better learn how to walk. That's a disciple. But we don't walk alone. If someone's dwelling in you, talk about a new inner man. You know, some people think it might be Christ, but look who's coming with them. If I will dwell in you and walk, you know, and if any love me, he'll keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come. There's an Emmanuel, you know, and make our abode with him. You finally got your abide. You got a sanctuary here. Praise. I don't know. I think I got a new word. Sanctuary. Praise God. There must be. I have to look it up in the dictionary. But that's only reference. I got to find what it means in the Bible, this sanctuary. Praise God.
I heard someone say this one time. He said, the church is making, can y'all hear me okay? He said, the church is making Christians and not disciples. And there's a difference. A Christian is just somebody that calls himself a Christian and doesn't do anything. A disciple is one that goes out and heals the sick, raises the dead, and preaches the gospel, evangelizes, does all the things. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to show the world what a disciple is here shortly. And I thank you, Father, that we all will be a part of it. And we do that by doing what you said to do. To go out and preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, bring the fire of the Holy Spirit to everybody. Glory be to God. Ow! Get off of me. Whew. All right. Anybody else? So, in essence, to be a disciple, and all of you have alluded to this or even said this, and that is to look, act, and talk like Jesus. Praise God. Lord, I pray that everybody here is doing that. Everybody here is giving it all up but you, Lord. There's nothing more important than talking and communing with you. Thank you, Lord, for placing that in our heart, that the flesh has no bearing on this, that it's all of you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that fills us every morning as we wake up and jump out of bed and praising you, Lord, and asking to be filled with your Holy Spirit, to be led by your Holy Spirit. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anybody else? You get off of me in the name of Jesus.
Michael, is that a ladybug?
A what?
What bit you?
Oh, it didn't bite me.
It's okay, good.
Trying to rip my muscle off my leg.
Oh. Get him.
Absolutely. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. All right. What else? That was a wonderful word, Debbie. I've read that thing I don't know how many times. John G. Late. Anybody know who that was? No, don't know. He said this. He said, if there's one gift that I could give to mankind, it would be the gift of, which one, I'm going to let y'all answer this. What would it be if you had the gift to give mankind? What would it be? And don't say Jesus Christ. We already know that. But what would it be?
Love.
Well, that's a good one. Okay. I'll go ahead and tell you. I don't want y'all to. Well, go ahead, Missy. I'll let you.
Well, I've heard you say.
We've talked about it.
I've heard you quote him so many times. But I'm thinking maybe what I'm thinking isn't what you're going to say, because we're talking about discipleship and love and everything, but I'm going to go with my, what I was first kind of was thinking. Speaking in tongues.
Well, that's another good one. But no cigar. Okay. I'll just go ahead and tell you. He said this. He said, if there's one gift that I could give to mankind, it would be the gift of hungering for God. It would be the gift of hungering for God. It doesn't matter whether you're a stay-at-home mom or I'm a pastor or a person. It doesn't matter what I do in this life, but that there's one irreversible law of the kingdom, and it's called hunger. You will not deny a hungry person. You will not deny a hungry man, a hungry woman, a hungry child, but you will fill them. But I ask you to raise up and release a Psalm 42 people in this hour as the deer pants for the water brooks. So pants my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. But all the voices around me tell me to give up. When I see no breakthrough inside, I will thirst for you, Jesus. When I see no breakthrough inside, I will thirst for you, Jesus. When your waves and your billows crash over me, I will thirst for you, Jesus. When doors seem to be locked and shut, I will not, Jesus. When I see no breakthrough inside, I will press, Jesus. And this is my prayer to the God of my life. Baptize me with spiritual hunger all the days of my life from glory to glory to glory to God. Woo, glory to God. I just receive that in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for that hunger in all of us. The hunger to throw down yourself, to hunger to throw down doing what other people want you to do, the hunger to throw down and do nothing but what you want us to do, Father. Go ahead, Julie. Did you want something? I thought you had your hand up. Oh, okay. All right.
I did have another. I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I did have another song that I thought was fitting.
Ooh, I've got one. I've got one I want to play.
Okay. I wonder if it's the same song.
It may be. I don't know. It's from that bunch of girls.
Oh no, it's a different one.
Is it a different one?
It goes along with what you're. It goes along with what you're talking about.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyways, well, you could go ahead and share it if you want to, unless Andrew's got something. Go ahead, Andrea, if you got something to share, that'd be good.
Well, I was just, when you talked about hunger, I was just thinking about the verses there in Matthew 25, on the job of the sheep, even though he doesn't know what he's doing, the sheep, you know, the goats don't know what they're doing either, but they're feeding and giving food and drink to strange, the naked and sick and the ones in prison, you know, so there all of this has to do with someone as a sheep or a lamb doing this, you know, at the right hand of God, and we're supposed to be made to be seated in heavenly places in Christ, and we're raised up with him in Christ Jesus. So you know, there's even though these sheep didn't know that they were doing this, you know, they might be speaking a few things that actually might be helping a person. You know, I can tell you I remember the first day coming to UVM, and he was given a study on the spiritual temple of God, you know, and it was so wonderful. It was so revealing to me that I went, I want more of this, you know, and
and you know, just listening on the Wednesdays, and someone told me about UBM, and I started listening on the Wednesdays and Sundays, and then they used to do different kind of fellowship way back then, when you used to have to lift your hand on the computer somehow, and I had a desktop back then, so I don't really remember how it happened or how they worked out. And yeah, so it was, I just remember that verse there. You know, you don't want to beat it into them like the goats do it. You know, you want to do it like the lambs, you know, like the sheep. And of course, all the parables there are collated, you know, the entire 25, you know. Praise the glory of God.
Amen. Yeah, it was live shows. What was the name of that platform that he worked off of? Y'all remember?
People could listen and
Pal Talk.
And they could put stuff in the comments and
That's what I listened to. First thing I listened to was Hidden Manna. I said, this guy knows something. I don't know what he knows, but he knows something. Then I heard Sovereign God, and I said, oh, he really does know something. Praise God. Yeah, that was a long time ago. He was, Andrew, you remember when he was doing, what was it, 4 shows a day? Yeah, he did 4 shows a day, and then he dropped back to 3, and then he just dropped back to 2. I got so mad when he did that. I said, good gracious, I need some more of this.
Are you talking about like live radio shows or something besides the broadcasts through UBM?
No, just it was the live talk, Kapow talk thing stuff. He would get on there and he would talk, and then somebody would throw a question at him and he'd answer it.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that too, Benita.
The Pal Talk was 3 hours.
Yeah, it was 3 hours then in the evening. That was on Sunday and Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know about the stuff you're talking about. I don't know about the stuff you're talking about, like how many.
She's right. It was 3 hours rather than 4 shows.
Okay.
3 hours. Yeah. And then he dropped back to 2 hours, and then he dropped back to 1 hour. I said, what is wrong with this guy? I can't get enough of this. And he's just... he's dropping back, and I'm trying to scratch for more.
There are changes happening in the ministry, I guess.
Let's talk about disciple now. Sorry, I went down this tangent. I don't know what happened then.
Oh, man. I finally called him and talked to him. All right, anyone else? What year was it that you heard the broadcast? Does anybody remember?
I think 2009.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyone else? How much does it cost to be a disciple? Everything. Thank you, Lord, it does, because the joy and the peace in our hearts is worth it. It's giving it all. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Okay, any more questions or any more answers? Yeah, Julie, go ahead, play it.
Sing my song. I'm going to sing my song.
Sing your song, girl.
have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me
I love the way they did that. That's awesome. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. That's an old song. That's an old song. Amen. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Well, what was your song?
What?
Well, what was your song?
Oh, you want to hear this one? Well, this one might get out your seat.
Okay.
All right. We can do it. If I can remember how to do it.
There's a thunder rolling deep inside, like a river that won't be denied. When I call on the name of the Holy.
gone.
I love that song. Golly. Whew. Y'all feel it burning? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Judy.
Hey, Michael, were you by chance playing the drums when you were on your console, your desk? Your mouse, your pointer was going up and down with the song on the screen. I don't know if anyone else saw that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I thought maybe you were playing the drums with the beat on your table and it was making your mouse go up and down on the screen.
No.
Okay. Anyone else see that or was it just me?
I don't know what it was. Well, it might have been the Holy Ghost was getting it going too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit is the one that leads us and guides us and teaches us. I praise you, Father, for this one's got that power, that authority. Praise be to God. You know how to get that authority, Missy? You know how to get that power and that authority? Anybody? I can tell you how I can get rid of Michael. More Michael goes, and more power comes in. More is available. Thank you, Jesus. We're all losing it. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? We still got about 10, 15 minutes. Has anybody got a question they'd like to have answered? That we can talk about next time. Just go ahead, Missy. I'd be all right. Just go ahead.
I got a question.
Axis.
Axed you. Are we gonna still get into the real good news? Continue reading that too?
Tonight? No, it's not much time left.
Well, not tonight, but
okay. Yeah, I like to go, you know, as the Lord leads, and
right.
Some nights it's real good news, you know. I love the real good news. I've read that book numerous times and still reading it today. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, we'll probably, if nobody has a question or anything, we'll get into that Thursday night. I think that's one of the top books in Unleavened Bread. It's real good news. That's the one that's been going out there. I'll put it that way. Everybody's getting one. Okay. We still got some time left. Yeah. That's all tied into one. That's what I call all in one. Which is your favorite chapter in there, Missy? Or did you have one? Okay. I tell you, the one that I like probably as much as any of them. All right, Missy, go ahead. Yeah, Barbara, that's mine too. Is the first five. Well, go ahead, Missy.
What popped into my mind? I was thinking about what the different chapters were, and I believe there's one that's called, and I really like that because to me it really helps my faith. Something like faith through imagination or something to that effect.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that one. As a matter of fact, faith, what is that, 15? Renewed Imaginations and Miracles, that's chapter 9. Yeah, that's one of my favorites too. You know, if you read this book and study it and meditate on this book, you'll have more knowledge than most preachers. That's hard to say, but it's not hard to say. It's easy to believe. Yeah. Missy, go ahead.
Well, we'll have more knowledge, but which that knowledge helps me. There's so much I know that I used to not know. Helps me to put it into action. You know, faith without works. That, you know, it
that's what this book does. It makes
right.
It makes helps you go. It makes you put it. Yeah, you're right. It makes you put it into action. You don't just read it to understand the knowledge. You put it in it to be like Jesus. Yeah, and that's what he says in there all through it. That's a good book. I love that book. But I love them all too. Another fight, what's that one? Faith for All Things. I like that one too. Yeah, that's a good one. What psalm is that? Well, I missed it, I guess.
It was Psalm 19:90, verse 99.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you, Debbie.
It was 119. Yeah, 119.
Yes.
It's 119. And you're saying, it's so scriptural what you're saying. It's like we'll have more knowledge than, you know, those other preachers and stuff.
Well, yeah, the knowledge and the actual that brings you into discipleship, helps bring you into discipleship along with the Spirit of God. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I don't want to beat this sanctuary thing, but you know, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
And He's our sanctuary, you know. Know ye not that ye are the sanctuary of God? And God saith that? So is He going to not give you any of His light? You know, to glorify God would be a wonderful thing to do. And we're supposed to be children of light, and we're supposed to walk in the light as He is in the light. You know, these are in chapter 1 of 1 John, you know, so we can have fellowship, you know, and the blood of Jesus shall cleanse us. Well, who we have in fellowship but with our sanctuary, you know, and we are in this sanctuary with God, and there's light there, there's food there. There's everything you could ever possibly need to have there with God, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, am I taking God for granted, or am I messed up that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Or, you know, am I anxious to do this light stuff with them? You know, like, it's exciting. And that you want to serve God, you know, you better not go ahead of Him. I'll tell you, it just doesn't work that way, because you're just going to fumble the ball, and the bad team is going to get the ball and whatever. But you know, like, when God's choreographing it through you, when He's doing it through you know, that then it seems it's like steady and easy. It flows so nicely when it happens. You know, like when you get an answer to prayer, you know, if you're not trying to fight at it, it just comes, you know. It's there, you know. And I tell you, there's nothing like it when he serves you in that capacity, when He comes to rescue you or to aid you and help you. And you know, like He says, it's always readily available for you too. He said, when's the day of His salvation for you? When's the day of Him speaking to you? You know, He says, now is the day, you know, for you to have this. And now is the day. What's wrong up here? Why not just let it come to pass, Father? And it brings fear to you, yes, but it'll bring the glory of all the glories of God working together. You know, He compares the glories to the things in heaven, the sun, moon, and stars, and He compares the glory to the lampstand that you have inside of you. That he lights, and He makes it well lit. All lights there are lit in your lamp to be a child of light. Because He's light. You're imitating the Father. Be therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. There's wisdom in love. There's knowledge in love. There's understanding in love. There's even the fear of the Lord in love, and the strength of the Lord, and teaching. There's holy and your life in this love, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So where is this sanctuary, the Son you have? You know, He's in you, of course. And it's just so collating and so wonderful on how it all fits together. Praise and glory to God. I don't know what made me say that, but something triggered it, so glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're getting close. I want to pray Psalm 91 over this bunch and those that are listening too, if that's all right. We who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'll say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver all from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence, all His. And He will cover us with His pinions, and under His wings we shall take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler, and we shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with our eyes shall we behold and see the reward of the wicked. For you, O Lord, are our refuge. You have made the Most High your habitation. We have made the Most High our habitation. There no evil shall befall us, neither shall any plague come near our tent. For He will give His angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. We shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent we shall trample under foot, because He has set His love upon us. Therefore, we will deliver him. Wait a minute. I will set him on high because he has known my name. This is the Lord talking. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise be to God forevermore. Thank you for your protection, Father God. We thank you in the days to come. This will be an awesome psalm for us. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that we do have it. You gave it to us, and we can use it as our protection. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Well, Lord bless you. How much time we got? Oh, it's right at the time. Thank you, Lord.